Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast.
We are going to build the kingdom of God in this hour. Jesus is sitting on the cloud. I believe that we are in the end time harvest season, but we're going to do exactly what he told us to do. We're going to disciple nations. Amen. We've been actually feeling since the 10th of this month. It was a week ago, Thursday, we were in a meeting in a home, actually. And halfway through the meeting, I just felt a shift in the spirit. And I felt an open portal open. And I knew that something had shifted, because for this last year and a quarter, actually, you know, I've been in this heavy weight of intercession, heavy, heavy intercession. And it was unrelenting. It was just like always just living in that space. And that was the first time that I felt that level of reprieve. And it was just like a real marking by the Spirit of God that something had shifted. And then it's just been like ever since, it's just been crazy awesome. Like every day, you know, there's like this revival anointing. Last Sunday, we just came together, and last Sunday night, and you could just feel the tangible presence of the Lord in the room. But I mean, it's at your home. It's like when you sleep at night, it's just like something has shifted. How many of you have felt that shift? Well, I just want you to know that's significant, extremely significant, because this time of year, on Friday and Saturday, of course, we were celebrating Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. We are now in the new year, which I'll talk about in a moment. Whoa, whoa, and whoa, wow. Oh, wow. And prior to Rosh Hashanah, we always, as a body, we always seek the Lord for what's coming in the new year. But because this year was so crazy, you know, with COVID, with all the riots, with all the political stuff going on, it's like we just had to keep our face like flint towards the Lord and our spirits alert in this battle position. So, you know, I got into August and realized, I thought, I have not spent the time I usually spend with the Lord to prepare for this time of year. And I thought, I really need to position myself. So I began that. But we're also, as well as praying and as well as putting our ear close to God, we're also watchful, because we have discovered that what happens around Rosh Hashanah or prior to it is an indicator of what is going to happen in the coming year. So last year, it was just heavy exposure, and, you know, it was just heavy prior to Rosh Hashanah. And I remember all my preached words were like, you know, they were just heavy words. Thought, welcome to the new year. Here we are. And it has been just that. But this year, it feels different on one level. It does feel different. And we had this revival spirit visit us, and then with Desiree's insight that she had, and also what she was talking about at Pentecost when we were in prayer here one morning. It was on a Saturday morning, and Heather Williams and I walked out the door and walked right into a revival angel. I walked right inside of it. I could feel its presence big all the way around me and as high. I mean, there was no end to it as far as my awareness of that angel. And I got so blasted by the presence of the Lord through the ministry of that angel that for up to 3 days, I was in like drunk in the Holy Spirit, and I hadn't been drunk in the Holy Spirit for a long time. And I mean, you know, it was just like right from that moment, it was just like it's spreading. We went back to the house where Marcella was working there, and she got blasted. We went into Denny's and the blast continued there. I mean, it just kept going. But I really feel that God is visiting his people who are positioned in him in this season. So it is going to be an amazing year, I just want to say. So we've had that breakthrough shift in the spirit. A number of you have had the same thing. And also something very significant that took place just this week was Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed. And, you know, we do know that she was an advocate for women's rights, so she actually did a lot of good for giving women their place and bringing equality. But she was one of the most strongest voices for abortion, and she was fighting to the finish on it. And so she was taken just at Rosh Hashanah, just before the new year. And so we finished this last year with her passing, which I believe has to be a prophetic sign. You know, and we don't celebrate, you know, with insensitivity anyone's passing, but we do celebrate the freedom that we have now. If we'll pray through to have a right person put in place. And whoever gets put in place is going to be there for life, right? So it's like we really need to pray right now. But Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live." So as intercessors, we need to storm to remove every attitude, every communication, every position that is opposed to God's truth. But at the same time, we want to demonstrate such love. If the world doesn't see the church love, we have no testimony. And I'm going to be honest with you, as a leader, as a mother in the kingdom, I am very concerned about some of the behavior of the people of God right now. I'm very, very concerned about the animosity, the anger, the hatred, the rebellion, the anarchy, and everything that we see out there in the name of Jesus. Do you know that crusaders that went and killed Jews did it in the name of Jesus? It's part of history. Let's not repeat it. There has to be love, and we need to speak the truth stronger than we've ever spoken it before. But if we do not speak it in love and grace, we do not have a message, and we are not properly representing the Lord. And I know everyone's got a different track that they run on, but every track needs to be saturated in love. No matter what truth you're representing that is indicative of the heart of Jesus and his word, it still has to be delivered in love or we have no testimony. And as a house, we are committed to speaking the truth, and we're not afraid to speak strong truth. We're not afraid to raise the bar. We're not afraid to really, you know, speak the word and the hard, difficult sayings of God. We're not afraid of that. But if they're not spoken in love, if they're not, you know, if we're not known for our love, we have no testimony. Jesus said the world will know you by your love. He didn't say by your hate, by your rebellion, by your obnoxious words that you're throwing out against everybody. And so we need to be really, really careful right now and really draw close to the Lord and really be in prayer. But revival is in the air. And I do believe that things are going to heat up in the world. It is not going to be an easy season in some ways. You are going to see more conflict probably in this next season than you've even seen in the last season. There could be very, very strong battles, even within the body of Christ, and especially within the nation, that are going to appear like civil wars on many levels. But even in the midst of that, I feel so strong in my spirit that the church, the remnant that is focused on Jesus, who loves him, is actually going to experience a real refreshing in the Lord, and that all things are possible, and this is the time to really enjoy him and enjoy his presence. This coming year will be marked by his presence for those who love him. And whoa, and I love that. A portal of blessing is opening up over his people. By the way, I'm doing a mini mentorship on October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th in the evening at 7 o'clock at night, every night for 4 nights, and it'll be on a closed Facebook group. So if you miss it live, no problem. You just can pick it up whenever. But it's called Power Portals, and we're going to extract a lot of the teaching out of Joshua Mills' brand new book called Power Portals. We'll be sharing, helping the body open up those portals over your life, over your ministries, over your business. And on the final night, on the Sunday night, Joshua Mills himself will be with us in that. So it's going to be an amazing mentorship. So if you want to learn how to open up these portals, the different portals of God's blessing over your life, go to patriciakingmentor.com and sign up for that course. Tell your friends about it. But anyways, I want to break open to you a bit of prophetic seasoning for what we've just stepped into for the year 5781 on the Hebrew calendar. For those of you who are not familiar with the difference between the Gregorian calendar and the Hebrew calendar, they are very different. The Gregorian calendar is based on the years after Jesus, and the Hebrew calendar is from creation, and one's linear and the other is circular, so they are different, but they both carry invitations for us to follow the Lord in the path that he has for us in those times. But a lot of times in the word, like, nothing is an accident. Did you know that God, he created a whole book in the Bible called Numbers? He really loves numbers, right? He just, I don't personally, I'm not like a big numbers person, and you don't want me to do your accounting for sure. I've got a really good accountant though that I'm really thankful for. But numbers mean a lot, and there's so many intricacies and secrets that you can discover in the word. And so in gematria, which is the symbolism of the numbers, there are a lot of really beautiful messages, and we're going to just pick it apart today and have a look at it. So in the Hebrew calendar, which begins the new civil new year for the Hebrew calendar, begins in the fall at Rosh Hashanah, that marks the head of the year. And so this year, we're going into 5781, but we're in the decade which began last year. In fact, this whole decade is really interesting. This whole decade is going to be numbered on the final number with the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar, the same for a whole decade. So it's going to be really interesting. But we entered the decade of pay, and that letter pay is about your mouth, like open wide your mouth. Interesting that we enter into the decade of pay and we're all covering up our mouths with masks. So that was very interesting. So we know that this is going to be a very significant decade and era, actually, to proclaim the truth, but there's resistance to it, okay? So we want to examine that. But this year, last year was 5780, and it was our first year into the decade, and this year is 81. And the number one is referenced by the alphabet Aleph in the Hebrew, and you'll see the symbol for it up there on the screen, and the design of the Aleph, you'll see it's made up of actually three different letters. You see the stroke on the top, the stroke on the bottom, and then the line that goes through the two. So there's a lot of symbolism in that, even, because you've got, you know, Jesus who is God, Jesus who is man, with a connection between the two of them. And I do believe that there's going to be many heavenly encounters that we have in the earth that are connected to our God in heaven. So with this letter, it has a numerical value of one. Okay, so we're going to look at that in a moment. And its sound is silent. When you sound it out phonetically, it is silent. And the pictogram that represents it is an ox. Okay, so there's symbolism, there's prophetic symbolism in all of that. And so we're going to look, first of all, at the numerical value of Aleph, which is one. And it refers to the one and only God, the master and creator of the universe. And we're all going to focus on the one. It's time to rid all distractions and seek the one. Now, this is really, really important, because the enemy is going to try to distract you this year more than ever before. And it's really important that you go into his presence, because in his presence, when you are seeking the one, and when you are listening to the one, and you're not listening to all the voices that are out there, not even the voice of your own emotion, your own passion, your own whatever, when you just separate yourself unto the one, you are going to have insight, and you are going to receive power, and you are going to receive revelatory downloads such as you never have before. This is going to be such an exciting season for those who go for God. Now, how many of you have experienced distraction like never before this last month, right? And you keep saying, my heart longs to be with the Lord. My heart longs to be with the Lord. But I ended my day and I didn't have the time I wanted. I found that this last few weeks, I have had to fight, literally fight with discipline to maintain time with the Lord. It's just like crazy. It's like, you know, and that fight is important. Sometimes you just have to say, no, I'm going to fight this through. I'm not going to let the enemy bring my passion into a place of being unfulfilled. And so when you identify that love in your heart to be with the Lord, you follow that passion and don't let the devil steal it, because it's going to be really important this year that we focus on the one. Everything is going to continue to shake, even in greater ways than we've seen up to this time. But we're of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So your focus on God alone at this time is what is going to keep you steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Even in your time commitments, there will be many things that will try to keep you from serving Him. And He is the one, you know, He is the one that really deserves our service. He is worthy of our service, and He is looking for those that He can anoint and appoint in this time. So it is a focus on the one. And also, when we look at one, we see unity. And it's a time for us to really, really examine the unity that we have been called to in the body of Christ. And that's a heart that is in love with Jesus. And we might have differences. We might have some convictions that are different, but that we would find ourselves united and that we would honor each other. We would honor each other. Just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you can't love them and honor them and on certain points come into agreement on. You know, there are points in every relationship that you can do that. And so it's going to be very important to look at that. Psalm 133 is going to be significant, because that's where the oil comes down upon the body, is when we are united. And we need to be very careful, because the enemy is going to try to divide us. We need to be honest and loving and caring and very careful, because the enemy knows that a house divided against itself will fall. And so even in the midst of differences, we have to maintain love and honor. Now let's go to the sound of Aleph. I hope I'm saying it right. I don't know if I am or not. But the sound is silent. So it's interesting that this year is also characterized by a sound that is no sound. It's completely silent. So when I was praying into this, I felt the Lord highlight two aspects. Number one, the devil is going to attempt to silence us when we're supposed to be speaking. So we have to be discerning of that. If we're supposed to speak and he's trying to silence us, we need to be aware of that and give God our voice. But the second thing, which is equally as important, is that God this year is going to demand some silence in his people too. Because oftentimes when we are silent, he can fight for us. But if we are not silent, we interfere with his plan. And we know that this is a decade of the mouth, so there's going to be a decade of word wars. We're already seeing that. And we need to be very careful not to engage in a battle that is intended by the enemy to bring destruction. And a lot of times, you can win the battle better by being silent. And most often, I find, too, is my silence is stronger than my words. A silence, in many cases, will speak louder than any words that could be spoken. And you might have even found that even in your family. You know, if you've got a family member that is all upset about something and they're ranting and their mouth is going off, if you engage and get all defensive and then, you know, you're trying to talk back to what they're saying, I'm telling you, that thing is going to grow. It will absolutely grow. But if you're silent, it takes two to war. And if you are not going to war, it diminishes the power of the enemy. But you get into it and you get a really good battle with the words going, you can destroy each other. And that's when oftentimes so much sin takes place is in our words. When we misrepresent the heart of God, we misrepresent truth, we misrepresent our love for one another, and we make a mess of everything because we weren't silent when we were supposed to be. And so we need to understand this aspect of this year as we're going to be called to silence. And it's also interesting that Jesus, in Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he didn't open his mouth a word in his own defense. And oftentimes the Lord has told me when people are, you know, slandering me personally, you know, and if you're on the front line, you get that. It's just part, you know, it's just part of the territory. But he's most often will say, don't say a thing. Don't say a thing. Just pray for them. Just let your words go to me. It doesn't have to go anywhere else. Just let them go to me. And he takes care of it. He is the vindicator. But when we try to go in and vindicate ourselves, we mess it up and cause greater wars. And Jesus, his silence at the cross, his silence won the war for all eternity. He became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he knew when to speak, but he also knew when to be silent. And that's what we need to learn. And that's a sign of maturity. A sign of maturity is when you know when not to speak. And so let's do that. Okay, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So you might let nasty words slip out of your mouth and think it's absolutely fine, but on the day of judgment, you will give account for that. That should put the fear of the Lord in us. It does for me, for sure. They will give account of it in the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I remember many years ago, I was over in the Philippines at the time, actually, and I had been choosing to do something that I knew the Lord was not mandating, okay? And so, you know how it is when you get these little nudges from the Holy Spirit. It's called conviction, you know, and that you're thinking something or saying something and doing something, but you know that that's not what God is saying. God is saying, don't do that. But I just was doing it anyways, okay? At 4 o'clock in the morning in the Philippines, I wake up to the audible voice of God. And he said, stop it. The fear of the Lord came on me like you wouldn't believe. And I remember thinking, I have no excuse and I have no argument. There's no excuse and there's no argument when God's word comes down upon you like that. And when you stand before God and give account for the words, you're not going to be able to explain yourself. It's just that, no, his presence alone will say what you need to know. And it says, by your words you will be justified, but by your words you will also be condemned. So it's a time when we're to be very, very careful. This year, we need to be very, very careful. And it's interesting because I've been noticing on social media some of the most careless expressions of communication in the last couple of days. Coming into the new year, when it's a day when we're supposed to be very wise concerning the words that we speak. Very wise and very careful, because by our words we will be justified, by our words we will be condemned. In Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, Paul said, let no corrupt communication or no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, which means to build people up, not to tear them down. So he said, don't let any word come out of your mouth that isn't going to build people up, that isn't going to align them with the purposes of God and build them up in a beautiful way so that it may impart grace, grace to the hearers, favor that they know that, oh, God is love. And he's empowering me to do what's right. Those are the words I need, even the hard words, even the strong words, even the disciplinary words have to be filled with grace to be of God. They have to edify you. They have to call you into a beautiful place. And he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice, maliciousness. Come on, Shiloh, we're going to raise a standard. We are not... This family is not a family that just throws out malicious talk. We are not a family that out of our internal frustration, we just let the words rip. We are going to raise a bar. Are we going to make mistakes along the way? Yes. And we're free to grow. I grow through my mistakes. I've made lots of mistakes, and I probably continue to make mistakes. But if we have a body that loves each other, we'll be able to address these things and call each other higher. I'm so thankful for a body that does that. I'm so thankful for a team that calls me to account. Because that's how I grow. That's how I know the love of God, that he has me on a short leash. I love that. I love his discipline. I love his grooming. I love being made more like him through the faithfulness of others. But our team has, for the most part, every time I've been confronted by a team member to be brought into alignment, it's been with so much love and honor and grace. And then the ones that weren't like that, I was able to extract the precious from the worthless, hold fast to that which is good, and then help them get mentored after. And it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, come on, let's take this to a bigger level right now. How are we supposed to be living as Christians in a nation where there is so much corruption and where we've got a demonic agenda? One of the greatest demonic spirits that you will see raise its head in this decade is the spirit of the Antichrist. Is one of the most deadliest spirits out there. And we are seeing it raise its head right now. That it is attempting to change times and seasons and laws and all kinds of things. And it's got a big mouth. It has a big mouth. But how are we, the church, supposed to address the issues? Because what I see that I just want to bring to your attention is a lot of times we're going after people when we should be in the prayer closet going after the demons. And we have so much to say that puts down the people. We're putting down governors. We're putting down, you know, senators. We're putting down business leaders. We're putting down education directors. And I realize that these people need some dialogue. But they don't need our hate. They don't need our maliciousness. They don't need our judgment. And even, you know, I realize that everyone's got a separate track that, you know, you have to obey God, okay? If God shows you to do something, you need to obey, but please have some good accountability and get some good input into what you believe God's saying. Because what you are determined that God is saying might not always be what he is saying. That's how cult leaders form, is that they are determined that God has spoken to them and they have no accountability. They won't listen to people in their life, and so they take people down a wrong path. So make sure that you've got in the counsel of many, there is wisdom, and listen to those voices because they will save you. But you might have a track that you're supposed to show your freedom of worship, let's say, for example, which could be totally of God. And even someone who's leading that mandate could have a real clean spirit on that. But then when you get people inside of it and say, I don't care what the government says, I'm just going to do my thing. You're not going to shut down the church. You're not going to shut down our worship. You're not going to shut down that. I'm just here and I'm going to do it anyways. Now, what that attitude is a rebellious attitude, and it's out there. It's a lawless attitude. It has no honor or respect for authority. It's making a ridiculous point in a way, because then you'd have to say, I think you should open the bars too. They have a right to be open too. You should open up the mosques too. I mean, why don't you fight for everybody to have the same? And so I believe we need to be a little bit more sensitive. And like I say, it's good to have a voice for truth. We shouldn't be silent when we need to be speaking, but we need to be careful about the tone in which we're speaking. And we need to make sure that there's no rebellious spirit that we are stepping into that empowers the enemy's agenda in the midst of it. Because you could be so right and yet so wrong. You could speak the truth and yet do more damage than the demon himself telling a lie because of attitude. And when people follow you in the wrong attitudes and in the wrong way that you communicate, then you're going to build what's called a mess. A big, big mess. And we need to show the love of God, and we need to speak strong truth. We need reformers raised up who will speak unwavering truth. But if it's not in love, we are nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And Paul said that if you do not have love, you are nothing, it profits nothing, and you have nothing. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And we should take that into our prayer closet as we're interceding, for those who really need our prayers. RBG really needed our prayers, not our judgment, our prayers, crying out for her soul. Only God knows. Only God knows if she turned. Only God knows. She's going to have a lot to answer to. But in many of her policies, she was deceived. She was believing the wrong voice. Did we pray enough for her? Did you pray? If you cannot save, you cannot judge. If you did not spend time fasting and praying and wailing for her soul and weeping and crying out, you have no voice to judge, none. If you can't save, you can't judge. Jesus could save. That's why he is able to judge. I love the example of the church with Paul. Before he was converted, he was so evil. He was an evil ruler, just misrepresenting God's purposes, having Christians killed, trying to silence them, silence their voice. And the church never badmouthed him. You won't find one evidence of that in the scripture. They prayed for him. It says, and the church prayed for him. And they cried out for him. And he became the most significant apostle in the New Testament as far as the impact he had through his epistles to this very day, because the church loved him. And they used their voice to go to the one, that was important. They weren't bad-mouthing him. They were praying. They were loving. They were crying out for a soul. That's a true Christian. And the early church were true Christians. If you don't have that heart, you're not a true one yet. You might be a tainted one. Or a not complete one, but it's like, come on, we can do this. Jesus chose a way of silence on politics in his day that was far different from what many would characterize him doing today. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And in this year, only speak what the Lord directs you to speak. And when you speak it, what does the Bible teach us? It gets spoken in what? Love. Love. We're in a love war. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. But when we do speak, we need to represent his nature. And his nature is that of a savior. He's redemptive. And it says God is love. It's not that he has love. It's not just he does some loving things. He says he is love. So if we've got his nature in us, we should be manifesting love. And as we grow, more and more love. So sometimes silence is golden. Don't assume you need to speak, but speak loud before the Father. More said in prayer and in his presence than before man. All right. The third thing is the letter Aleph is a pictogram representing the ox. And the ox is one of the four faces of Jesus that we see in Revelation. And it indicates strength. So this is a time when you're going to be strengthened. If you've been through a season where you feel like the devil smashed you big time, you can rejoice because in this next year, you're going to be strengthened in the Lord. You're going to rise up strong. You're going to rise up out of the ashes so strong. And this is a year when you're going to know sacrifice. The ox was used in sacrifice. And you're going to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ more than you ever have before. And God might call you to sacrifice in this new year. God's been speaking to me already of things he wants me to lay on the altar in order to spend more time with him. Sacrifice. The ox also represents humility. It is a humble beast. And it is not a beautiful beast. It's actually quite a humble beast. And I remember back in the 1990s, God was speaking to us back then about the apostolic, and he had us host a conference called Apostolic Oil. So I was with a number of intercessors and a couple of the speakers in the church the day before the event, and we were praying, and all of a sudden the glory of God came into the room, and I fell to the ground. And when I fell to the ground, I actually felt like I was an ox. Like I was an ox, not just I was seeing an ox. I actually felt like I was an ox. And I realized, because when you're in vision or when you're in encounter like that, you know things that you don't even know how you know. You just know. Your knower just knows. And I knew that I had an assignment to break up the fallow ground for my master. Now, the ox is used in three parts of the harvest, all three parts. It, number one, is used to break up the fallow ground. It'll pull the plow through the fallow ground and break it up so that the seed can be planted. It's also used in the seed planting, and it's used when the grain is ready to be felled. So the ox is really, really big. I mean, it's significant. But I felt like this ox, and I was on all fours in the church building. I started moving forward, and I could actually feel the weight of the yoke around my neck. And I could feel that I was pulling this plow. But I knew the field had to be plowed for the master. And as I went, I started hearing audible voices laughing and mocking. Oh, look at that stupid old ox. Oh, it's so dirty. And I remember thinking, well, of course I'm dirty. I'm out in the field, and I'm breaking up the fallow ground. I wouldn't know how to do that and not be all messy. And I remember feeling the kick in my side. I actually felt it, literally felt it in the spirit. And they were kicking me and mocking me and said, "That stupid old ox." And I remember thinking, they don't understand. I have to do this for my master. And all that was in my mind was the master. I knew that I was there to serve my master. That was all that mattered. So as I continued, I remember feeling really tired. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I can finish. I don't know if I can finish, but I know I have to finish. And I looked ahead of me and I saw the cross, and I knew that that was my destination. And I went all the way up, and I could feel my head physically touch the wooden cross. And I remember falling down, embracing it, crying and loving that cross. And the Lord spoke to me after that encounter, and he said, My ox nature is what you have experienced in this encounter. My ox nature, this is the nature of the apostolic. The apostolic isn't just a title, and it's not like, oh, I'm Bishop so-and-so or whatever. It is an ox anointing where you plow the ground that is hard. It is hard work. But the grace of God is there. And what propels the apostolic is the love for the master. And I believe that we're going to see the apostolic emerge in this coming year like never before. And in every mountain of influence, we're going to see more apostolic emerge in this time where they say, it's not about me, it's about my master. And I don't care what people think about me. I don't care how ugly they think I am. I don't care how much they ridicule me. Is I have to do it for my master because I'm committed to the master and I'm in love with the master. Amen. So this is the year of the ox. And the ox is also a burden bearer. The ox is a burden bearer. It bears the burdens. And I believe that we're going to see that. And the Lord showed me over the weekend, actually, that in this year, there's going to be an acceleration of deliverances and emotional healing. Breakthroughs for people. This is an acceleration. And there's going to be a whole body of believers raised up with anointing to set captives free. It is going to accelerate like no other time. So let's just wrap this up so that we can commit ourselves to this season as we enter into 5, 7, 8, 1. And this is just the beginning here, okay? We need to, number one, draw close to God because there's one that is important, right? One, just one thing. You know, that's what Mary chose. He said, there's only one thing important and Mary has chosen it. So there's one thing that we're going to keep our focus on, that's God himself, and we're going to eliminate all distractions, and this is going to be a year when we will pray, and we will pray like never before. And secondly, it is a year that we're going to watch over the words of our mouth. Our mouth speaks what is in the heart, so as we listen to ourselves, we might think, uh-oh, I need a heart adjustment. I need to think about things differently, because our words will show us what's in our heart. Can tell what's in the heart of someone. I just listen to their words, right? And so watch over the words of our mouth, watch over our heart with all diligence, and make sure the greatest things we speak, because it's a time to know when to speak, and it's a time to know when to be silent. And so our greatest voice should be uttered in his presence. It's a time of intercession and prayer. And then thirdly, we're going to align with the ox nature. We're going to align this year, the year that's represented in pictorial symbolism by an ox. We're going to say, I'll receive that, Lord. I receive your ox anointing. And I'm committed to the master. I will walk in greater humility before you and before man than I ever have before, because it's what I'm made for. And this year represents that nature. It's not about platform. It's not about how well known we get. It's not about how much we can, you know, blab. You know, it's about our relinquishment of everything for him and for his glory, no matter what people think, no matter what they say. So let's commit ourselves to this new year. Maybe you'd like to stand for a moment. If you're at home, if you could stand right now, I just want to bless you as you step into this new year. And I thank you, Father, that we are so grateful that we have stepped into a brand new year. And it's so good. We have felt your presence so strong. You are with us. You are with us. And there's only one. There's only one that is important to us right now. You are the most important. Everything else comes secondary. And so, Lord, I pray over your people a special commissioning to step into this new year with a dedication to your presence like never before, a dedication to you alone like never before, that oneness in you like never before. And Lord God, that you would watch over their hearts as they step into this year. Lord God, that the words that come out of their mouth will be that which will be spoken in love, and that they will know when to be silent, and they will know when to speak, and that words of wisdom, when spoken, are going to turn hearts towards you, because those words will be full of truth and love and grace. And I thank you, Lord, for the ox nature that you are imparting right now. That is your nature, Lord. It's your apostolic nature. It is your love nature. It is your servant nature. It is your burden bearer nature, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that in that ox nature, this year that we're prepared for harvest, whatever aspect that we are going to step into, whether it's the plowing of the field, whether it's the planting of the seed, or whether it's the felling of the grain, I thank you, Lord, that we are ready because we receive the ox anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a beautiful ox.
Thank you for joining Patricia today. She would love to continue to empower you in your faith journey. For more information about other Patricia King resources, events, or ministry partnership, connect with her on patriciaking.com. Also follow her on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and iTunes podcast.